are listening to The Recovered Therapist, brought to you by FreshOutOfPlans.com. I'm Jeannie Griffin, and I'll be your host. Instead of focusing on labels, diagnoses, and psychobabble, we keep things honest, simple, and hopeful, so that you can grow personally and spiritually. Thank you for joining me. Today I want to talk about insight, inspiration, and action. So, insight is fabulous. We get those aha experiences. We think, oh my gosh, I finally connected the dots. Those things fell into place. Now it all makes sense. Aha. That's insight. We get that when we read a book. We get that when we hear a song. We get that when we hear somebody else talk, tell their story. It has to do with getting information that could be 1,000 years old, but we hear it for the first time. And then it's like, oh, now I understand. Okay, that's wonderful. It's great when we all see that. Inspiration is another great tool that spurs us on, gives us energy, makes things hopeful, exciting for us. We get inspired. But inspiration and this insight awareness doesn't change behavior. I'll say that again. Insight and inspiration doesn't change behavior. We have to take action. Ugh. So that's all great in theory. But let's say, you know, how many times have you been scrolling in social media and you see all these home cooking kits or different diets and you think, oh man, look at that. That company has some really good looking meals. You might even examine what they are and you think, okay, I need to buy more red peppers. I need to buy more avocados. I need to buy more of this, more of that. Have a more colorful plate. And I'm going to do that. I know it's good for me, blah, blah, blah. So you have both the inspiration and you have the insight. But guess what? You may even take action and go buy the stuff. You may even do that at the grocery store. You think, okay, I'm not going to subscribe to any of those packaged cooking things. I'm going to get all this at the grocery store. And I'm going to go on this diet or that diet, or I'm going to eat healthy. And so you buy a bunch of that stuff. The next thing you know, you throw it away because, you know, the action's not there. Yeah, it was great, but now it's the 10th of the month and this lettuce was going to expire on the 3rd, so I might as well just throw it away. All right, so what do we do about this dilemma? Insight, inspiration, and taking action. That's one of the biggest complaints I hear from clients and from people. Inspired through 12-step, they'll say, oh yeah, I know I need to let go, and I hear people telling me to let go. How do I do that? That's a good question. Okay. One of the first things that has to happen, I believe, is you got to do some of the little tricks that I've been recommending all along. You need to stop and ask yourself, okay, am I in my head, my heart, or my feet? Am I in the middle of taking action? Am I overwhelmed with feelings? Am I thinking too much and can't sleep? And I'm just trying to always process everything, get all the emotions out of it, and put it in my little brain on my motherboard, kind of like it looks like a waffle board, and everything is sanitized and put in little boxes, and now I've got it under control. Remember, our goal all the time is safety. You either are a head person, heart person, or a foot person. If you get hit with life on life's terms, I don't care what it is, rainstorm today, loss of a job, flat tire, the loss of a loved one, big, little, medium size, when you get hit with it, do you want to take action first, run, call somebody, cuss somebody out? You want to take action? Do you get so overwhelmed with feelings that you have a meltdown? Do you hear something or approach something and immediately go into, okay, how do I solve this? Let me think. You know, do you get into your head, your heart, or your feet first? I got to get out of here. I'm not going to talk about this. I don't want to talk about it right now. I'm going to shut down. The goal of all of those is safety. Once you identify that, then you can take at least a hint on where do I need to go next. If I'm having a meltdown and I'm overwhelmed with feelings, I'm not telling you not to have the feelings, but I'm saying spend a few minute or two in those feelings, recognize that you are overwhelmed and that now you need to move into thinking before you take an action. You don't want to go from overwhelmed feelings into action or your feet, because you're liable to make impulsive decisions that later put you in a position to be hurt and to hurt other people. So you want to bring some rationalization into it. You bring some problem solving into it. So you talk to yourself and you say, okay, right this minute, I'm okay. Right this minute, I feel overwhelmed, but that's just a feeling. And I feel like I'm going to die, or I feel like I can't breathe because I'm having anxiety. You can talk yourself into calming down, or at least maybe calling somebody that can help you calm down, or practice a technique of breathing or exercise or looking, you know, something simple, looking up and out onto the horizon is such a simple technique, but it also helps calm you down. When you're overwhelmed with feelings, it's almost like you can't see or hear. So to get into your body and say, okay, I'm going to lean back on this chair and I'm going to feel my back against the chair and I'm going to look up and look out as far as I possibly can. If you're in a building, look out the window. If you don't think you can sit down, then all right, I'm going to walk. I'm going to get up and go toward the bathroom if you're at work. Or I'm going to go outside and walk out to the end of the street. Something that physically gets you into your body. You feel your feet in your shoes, your toes against your shoes, and gets you grounded again. While you're going up into your head and saying, I'm going to be okay, I'm going to be okay, I'm going to be able to figure something out. I'm going to call somebody, or I'm going to calm myself down, and I'll look at it again in a minute. So, eventually, all action, all feelings, everything is born in thought. Even when you're so overwhelmed with feelings, there is a thought that is driving those feelings. The thought is driving the bus here. And that's where you've got to finally get. You've got to get to, what is this feeling? And then what is the belief, the thinking that is driving this feeling? And it may be, and most of the time it is, an irrational idea. So if you're into anxiety and you think, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to breathe, that's the thought. I can't breathe. I'm going to die. I'm going to be overwhelmed by this. That's not true. It's an irrational thought. Now, the more overwhelming this is, the more feelings you have, or the more panic you have that you want to run away, then it's an indicator that the feeling you're having is not necessarily related to the event that is occurring. Okay, let me say that again. The feeling that you have needs to match whatever's happening in your life. So if you've broken a shoelace and you're screaming to the top of your lungs, that doesn't kind of match. Now, for you to break a shoelace and say, oh, you know, cuss a little bit or stomp around to go get a new shoelace, okay. Then the feeling size and the action size and even the thought all kind of match. But when your feeling is so overwhelming that it is gigantic compared to what happened, that's a clue that this feeling you've had many times before. And you got to take a look at what else and who else is wrapped up in that reaction. So you want to get to these feelings, and let me list a few events and help you identify with these thoughts, these irrational thoughts. So let's say you have been abandoned in childhood by a divorce, or someone has died, or a best friend has moved away, but the rug has somehow been pulled out in front of underneath you. And your reaction to that, after it's happened several times and it's hurtful, is, well, everybody I love leaves. Or, I can't trust anyone, they all leave. So your thoughts are, I won't trust anybody because life is unpredictable, the rug's pulled out from under me, they all leave. Now, you may not know that's what you're thinking, but that's subconsciously the decision that you've made, so that when something happens like that again, you feel all of those feelings, the 10 times that it's happened to you. I would urge you to get out a sheet of paper and put down an event, and then put down what your belief system or the rule you made about life. I was working with a young woman whose father's needs always came first. And finally, she got to several of the rules in her childhood. Now, these are the ones, not necessarily that people told you, but that given the situation, you came up with. So, she, you know, her father's needs, his work needs, his personal needs, everything came before anyone else, especially the children. So, she came away with rules in her head like this. Your needs are secondary to mine. And because it was her father, anyone in authority's needs are more important than yours. Your needs are secondary to anybody in authority over you. So that set her up for terrible situations where she was taken advantage of, even at work and personal relationships. Another message she identified was, be uplifting always. Bring sunshine everywhere. Basically, don't have any needs. I'm so busy and I'm so important as your father that I don't need anything else on my plate. And so that's what she observed. So, oh, Dad is so busy and he's so stressed out because he's got so much to do because he's so important. I won't have any needs. And I'll just bring sunshine to him. Okay. You get the point? So, when you're trying to identify what action do I need to take now that I'm inspired and now that I have some insight, what do I do? What do I do? What action? So let's take this young woman. When she has this epiphany that, oh my gosh, my dad's needs were always more important. And now that she's grown, she sees how that belief is holding her back. So the action she has to take is to first identify what are those irrational beliefs or the irrational feelings. I'm going to die if I have a need, or I cannot cry in front of my mother or my father because it looks like I have to have a need and I don't want them to worry. For her to identify that irrational thought, that's first. I mean, put it on paper. Then she recognizes when that comes up and in what situations it comes up. And when it does come up, the first thing she does is say, oh, huh, there's that old idea. Cancel, cancel, cancel. That is not true. That's an idea, a decision that I made in childhood. And if need be, she identifies that this is this little kid who's still trying to help her make herself safe, but it's getting in her way as a 30-year-old woman. So she cancel, cancel, cancel. And then she says to this child, you know, you're not going to die with these feelings. It feels that way, but you're not, because I'm here to take care of you. You know, you don't have to be sunshine every time you show up, and you don't have to keep your feelings from your parents if you have sad feelings. They can handle it. I have needs, and I can have the needs whether it's my parents or not. Now, it might be a totally different thing that if she shows her needs, it puts her in a position to be hurt by other people. Then she moderates when she and how she lets people know about her needs. And you don't need to do any of this work alone. You need to have somebody who always points you to your higher power, and you have to have a group of people who can help support you and sometimes even give you a reality check. Okay? So you identify the thoughts, and then you realize that all the actions and all the feelings are born in these thoughts. So to review, I love it if you get inspired. I love it when you get insight into something. And then when you don't take action, you feel a bunch of shame. The first action to take is, what is going on with me in my head, my heart, and my feet? And what's the message I'm telling myself? Most of the time, it is a message you made up as a child, looking at a situation. Sometimes it's a message other people have told you. Oh, you're stupid. Oh, you're dumb. Oh, you can't do math. Well, it doesn't matter really where the message came from. Some of them are more impactful than others, obviously. But to identify that message and recognize it when it comes up, cancel, 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 and then begin to substitute the new thought. One of these other women I was working with was so shamed and so bullied that she felt so unable to do anything, to be anything, to say anything. She was so unworth everything, and began doing some experiential work, empty chair work, and trusted the process. You know, first the thought was, well, I'm too scared to do this, or it's not going to work. What if I make a mistake? What if people laugh? Blah, blah, blah. So we cancel, cancel, cancel all those. And change it with, I will trust this exercise. So in doing this exercise, which is empty chair work, talking to the bully in an empty chair, it started out very mechanical. She was shaking. She asked people to be around her. And so she had her peers touching her back, which she allowed them to do. Yes, I want you to touch me and be here to support me. And when we were through with it and processing it, she said, the three that were standing with her said, I felt her energy. I felt it shift. So she started out and she was shaking and looking down and hunched over and talking to this bully and just saying whatever came to her heart. And then eventually, it wasn't very long, maybe 10 minutes, she started saying, you know, I'm not going to let you bully me anymore. I don't want to have anything to do with you. And as she began to say that, her body came up and she started sitting up straight. She looked into the empty chair like she was looking at the bully and said, you're not going to run my life anymore. And then she said something that I caught and a lot of people didn't remember. And she said, I've learned I can do hard things. And she looked up and she sat up straight. And that's when the girls around her said that they sensed her energy completely shift. Okay. Now, when we were through and we processed it, I said, does anybody remember what she said? And people in the room started giving me answers, that stuff she had said to the bully. And I said, did anybody hear her say, I can do hard things? And some of them said, yeah, I remember that. And I said, let's look at that phrase, I can do hard things. What age child would say that? Is that something a 30-year-old woman would say? Or is it something that a child might say? And I mean, in unison, the group said, a child. And I said, about what age? They said, oh, maybe 6, maybe 8. And we asked her, yes, the bullying was most intense when she was in 4th grade. And this was a little girl who was saying, I can do hard things. And so we urged her to keep that as a mantra, write it on everything she could, put it on sticky on her mirror when she looks at it in the morning. I can do hard things. And we reiterated that in that empty chair work, she had done a hard thing. And when the group had started this workshop, I said, you're going to have to talk to this bully. Now, you can do it this way or you can do it that way. I gave her a choice of how she was going to do it, but did not give her a choice not to do it. So I know this is long-winded to tell you that the way to get into action is through thinking first. Identify what's holding you back. Even when you say, ooh, that Mediterranean diet plate that I looked at looks great. I think I'll do that. The action. What action do you need to take? Oh, it's too expensive. Oh, I'll get it myself. Listen to that, because that's what's keeping you from action. And you'll just come away feeling good about something, inspired or informed and having insight. And then when you don't follow through, you'll feel worse about yourself. So all action is born in thought and inspiration and intuition. That's that place where God talks to you. The inspiration and the insight, the intuition that you know what the next step is, and the action is something that you can do all three, but it takes all three, and you don't have to do it alone. There are many therapists that can help you. There's a lot of 12-step groups that can help you. There are a lot of books you can read. Ask for help. And, you know, the saying, ask for what you need. Oh, isn't that fabulous? Well, what if I don't know what I need? Well, say that too. Just keep reading. Go to a bookstore and spend some time and just start reading. Get on the floor, pull out some books, and just start reading. Listen to your intuition. Oh, this book's nice. Oh, look, that cover's okay. Or do that with podcasts. Ask your higher power to enter into it. And remember the community. Thank you for listening to The Recovered Therapist, where we keep topics honest, simple, and hopeful. I love you. There's not a damn thing you can do about it. Until next time.